Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's raising the vibration right here on the live Paranormal Radio Network. Happy New Year. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host. And this is Raising the Vibration. This show was the first outreach of my nonprofit movement of peace and love and kindness and unity, raisingthevibration.org. I founded it in 2016 on my mama's birthday to celebrate her teachings, both spiritual and humane. And this show is about ascending, evolving, inspiring, and love. Because love is all there is, my friends. Basically, it's about what is your passion, what is your service, and what are you doing to make the world a better place? And my very first guest on this show, when I brought it to the live Paranormal Radio Network February of last year, is with me today. She was also my very first guest on my Wednesday show here, Haunted Playground. It's Wednesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time. This show Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time, which premiered this week, 1 year ago. She's a wonderfully talented speaker and author and ufologist, paranormal survivor, all-around fantastic person, giver to the world, understands the meaning of service. Please welcome back to the show, the wonderful Andrea Perrin is here. How are you, my love?
Happy New Year. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. Good.
Good.
Me too.
Good to hear your voice. How are you? How's the family?
Well, I'm up in Georgia with my mother and my sisters and just having a wonderful time. My friend Cass just went left this morning to drive back to the frozen tundra of Ann Arbor, Michigan. But she has spent
That's
3 weeks with us. Yes, it is. It's about 10 hours and she's almost home, so woo-hoo about that. And she brought her little dinky dog, Charlotte, with her. So we had all three dogs together, Peanut Buttercup, my baby, and my mother's dog, Sam. And it was wild. We had a wonderful holiday season. It was great all the way through. Very busy, very hectic, but also very satisfying. And I've allowed myself to feel hopeful about this coming year.
What?
I have. I know, because, you know, we've talked, and I haven't been so incredibly hopeful lately.
And
I don't know what shifted in me, but I feel like it's, I think that we should. It's almost an act of defiance that I'm daring to feel hopeful about 2022, because I heard some comedian today say, wow, 2021 was so bad that it made 2020 look like 2019. You know, I couldn't help but laugh, you know, because it's true. It's true. You know, there's so much going on and everything feels so topsy-turvy in the world, and it is, and it should, because this is the paradigm shift. And if we just went through it like we didn't even feel it, and nothing changed, and there weren't issues that rose to the surface to be addressed, then it would not only fail to qualify as paradigm shift, it would just qualify as business as usual. And that's not what this is. This is
absolutely
an entirely different change of consciousness, and I know you feel it. We've talked so many times about the wave of consciousness raising, which is occurring across the globe, and I do believe in my heart of hearts that this show, that you and the driving force behind this particular broadcast makes a quantifiable difference in the world. And I'm so proud to call you my friend.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. And I am so proud to know you and call you my friend. I don't know how to stop helping people and loving them. Funny, because I put this video up on TikTok in between Christmas and New Year's, because I realized I was so busy with Christmas that I hadn't had a Christmas TikTok. So I basically cheated and just took a video I had shot and put Christmas graphics on it. But it was this video that I had shot to put up, basically saying that, you know, my mom was a person of service, right? She was herself a teacher, mm-hmm. a therapist, and a psychic medium. And I don't know anything else except helping people. I grew up in service, and I don't know anything different. And all I want to do is help people. And I'll be damned if this thing doesn't have almost 11,000 views now. And I don't know what makes it different than any of my other videos, except that I think that people are so desperate to hear that there are people in the world that are just here to help, that they're sharing it around everywhere, and it's literally gone viral. And, you know, that's just who I am. I don't know any different. And no matter what goes on in my life, and trust me, this has not been an easy couple of years for me.
I know.
I just keep getting up and helping people because I just don't know any different. And it's so easy to be like that. And if everybody was like that, all of the problems in our world would be solved. If everybody was just thinking about other people, all of the people. But I think that not everybody is an empath one. And also I think so many people are so myopic and they're only thinking about themselves and their own problems. And they're not thinking about anybody else. You know, I got into this thing a couple of months ago. I was watching this wonderful show on Hulu. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was called The Path. About a cult.
Mm-mm.
And they were showing this in the third season. They were showing this episode where the cult now becomes very mainstream, like a Scientology kind of thing. It goes from like a traveling roadshow Jim Jones cult to becoming a major thing. And these people are all coming to talk about why they'd like to join the cult. And different people are telling their problems. I don't feel seen. I think I'm too fat. I think I'm stupid. I'm not good at anything. Nobody loves me. And I like burst into tears watching this episode. And I said to my partner, I just want to give all these people a hug. Because, I mean, I know it's fictional. I know they're characters. But those are also real things. And I know everybody feels every day because I hear that from my clients. And I hear it during my broadcast. And I just want to take everything I have and throw it at those people and help them. And I don't understand why other people don't, but I think mostly people just think about themselves and care about themselves. And it's not bad. I don't mean in a bad way. They're not actively trying to hurt anybody, but they're also not really looking beyond their own nose for how they can help. And that's why we have billions of people on this planet that are all, Annie, right, existing in their own bubbles, and nobody's doing anything to connect or commune with anybody else. And I think 2021, and honestly 2019 energetically, I mean, we think of it now as our Lord High Savior, but when we were in 2019, it's a very myopic time where people are only thinking of themselves offensively and defensively. And I just think there has to be more to life than just sitting around picking your nose trying to figure your own shit out. You know what I mean? We're here to connect with other people. That's what Buddha said. That's what Jesus said, right? All about we're here to connect to others. So
and
why
to
are
love
we not
powerfully.
Doing that? Right.
You know,
and
when
every
we
day
learn
you've got our nose in this phone. I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, I just said it was the overall message, the great message that has come to this planet through numerous prophets over and over again, to love thy neighbor as thyself. But here's the kicker. There are people that no longer love themselves. They have egos they stroke.
Yes.
But if their ego has taken over their persona, then that in its own way is a symptom of self-loathing. I was watching a PBS broadcast day, and it was about, you know, training medical people as fast as possible to step into the field so that they too can put their own lives at risk, trying to keep COVID patients alone, the vast majority of which are not vaccinated.
Right.
And they had to have special classes to teach these young doctors, budding medical professionals, to teach them empathy, to teach
yes.
them bedside manner and empathy.
Yes.
And
yes.
as they were interviewing them going into this course, there was, and these are obviously very bright, very scientifically minded, upwardly mobile, moving right along in life, young individuals who needed to have the word defined for them. They either hadn't heard it or they did not know the meaning of it. And that's scary to me because, you know, empathy is a huge part
yeah.
of what we perceive to be love. And if you can't feel for another person, you know, literally put yourself in their coat, their shoes, their home, their life, their world, even for a few moments, to understand that someone might have a life that is so filled with despair that simply by you smiling and holding a door open for them as you're crossing it through a store into a store might be what keeps them pulled together that day and feeling good about life for a few minutes. That's how powerful it is. And yet we're having to
yeah.
teach people what it is.
I know, absolutely. And I knew somebody who did that once who taught doctors how to talk to people in grief. And
uh-huh.
I mean, to me, that's just natural, right? You're a doctor. You
of
deal
course,
with people's
you would
bodies
think, sure.
every day. You should know how to deal with people when they've lost someone. But they don't teach that in well, they probably are starting to now, but they didn't teach that in medical school. They're so busy making sure you know how everything works. They forget to teach you
exactly.
how to love people. And, you know, I have the most wonderful doctor, and I tell this story all the time. I'll probably burst into tears, but I laugh that he inherited me because his father was my doctor from the time I was 13. And he died,
mm-hmm.
and my doctor inherited me, and he took over his father's practice. The first year that he did, I had to have a major surgery. His father had done all the surgeries on me, and we used to always laugh that, you know, when he's like, what are you going to do when I die? And I say, I'm just going to get all taken out. And then he died and it all had to come out. So there's your prophecy right there. Anyway, so this guy's 2 years older than me. And I feel like I grew up with him because I remember his father talking to me about him to distract me after many surgeries I had as a young person. And I wake up, I'm in total pain and I just had a hysterectomy. I was 45. My father had just died or just about to die. He was in a nursing home and my mother was not doing well with the walking. So it was the first time in my life when somebody wasn't with me in the hospital all the time. He never came, but she always came. And they have this big, beautiful room, right, overlooking Newport Beach. And I'm in this giant room and like twice the size of my bedroom. And I'm in this room all by myself and, you know, basically just making the nurses laugh and talking about ghosts with the nurses. I wake up one morning, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's sitting at the foot of my bed writing in my chart, and he's just, like, he has his hand on my foot, and he's just, like, touching my toe and looking out the window as he does the notes. And it was just kind of, the sweetest gesture, right, just to have somebody
yeah.
when you're in that much pain and you wake up just kind of touching your toe. Like, and I just thought, I know that there's a lot of talk about, oh, doctors shouldn't touch patients because people worry that it's rapey. I don't know that touching a toe is rapey. I think that's a big stretch. But it makes all the difference as a patient. Like, when I see him, he hugs me. He hugs his patients. And I think that makes
yeah.
all the difference. And it's no sweat out of your day. I hug all my clients. I tell my clients
yeah.
I love them. I understand when you have a medical license, you can't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just him sitting there with his finger on my, I will never forget that in a million years. And I woke up and he asked how I was and we talked about how I was feeling. And We've talked about how beautiful the marina was. I asked him if he was a surfer because we grew up in two towns next to each other. And he said, no, he was a skateboarder. And we talked about that, going to school, growing up in Huntington Beach and Newport Beach accordingly. And it just, you know what I mean? It healed me more than any morphine, more than any Dilaudid, more than any antibiotic. Mm-hmm. We cannot forget how important that touch is. We cannot forget how important it is to touch people. And like I said, we spend our noses stuck in our phones, Andrea, right? We have every ability to touch the world without doing anything, not even leaving our homes. But we don't. We're posting about how upset we are about this and how upset we are about that. And, I mean, I understand every once in a while a post like that is great, but I don't know about you, but I don't really need to hear everybody's grievances 24/7. Like, I understand if it's a big deal, please post about it. But just the every day, oh, my God, can you believe Starbucks got rid of this drink? And, oh, I'm so pissed because I went to Walmart and had to wait in the line. And it's like, wow, these are opportunities that you could be sharing love and inspiration with people. And instead, you're talking about what an inconvenience everything is. And I just think it's a global perspective of switching to glass half full. So I think you deciding to move into 2022 with an open heart and soul is a beautiful thing.
Well, it's also necessary because I think that it is bodacious to dare to believe that it's going to be better. I really do, especially when things appear the way they do now. It's almost so brave, it's almost counterintuitive. I mean, because if you actually look around, you go, oh my God, we're so screwed, you know? and then to say, but I know it's going to get better. I just know it's going to get better.
It's going to get better.
And some would call that, and some would call it delusional, and some would call it wishful thinking, and some would call it any number of things that might be castigating and casting aspersions onto the speaker. But I don't care. I don't care. I'm not responsible for how other people react to my opinion about life in general or, you know, personally, specifically my own. We all have our own perspective. We've all lived what we lived to get us to the point where we are right now. But I had the most blissful, wonderful holiday season with my mother, who I've missed terribly because I traveled quite a bit the second half of last year and was not able to come and spend time with her. I got to spend her birthday with her in August, and that was pretty much it until December. So I've been here for several weeks. I will be here for several weeks more in Georgia. And I've kind of gone off the grid. It's been really wonderful. I feel bad because, you know, I'm sure people are leaving me bajillions of messages. I haven't opened my computer in a week. I haven't. It was like New Year's and New Year's Day and football and, you know, then some more football and lots of food and, you know, Cass being down from the frozen tundra being so delightful. You know, that being said, she's also very high energy, to her, and in some respects, high maintenance.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. You know, she's just like, she likes to line me out. Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do the other thing. And then I finally got to the point where I was like, yeah, I'm not really going to do that, you know, because I'm the boss of me and I'm not doing that. And so, you know,
there was,
you know, those moments. But it was exhausting and it was exuberant. It was energizing. In a very unique way, just to be here with my mother, who you know how much I love and adore. She is my hero.
Yeah.
She's the person on earth I look up to the most, no question about it. And I want to be just like her when I grow up. And to have all this time just, you know, I mean, when playing a game of Scrabble on a Tuesday is a priority and is made a priority. That's living. That's living in the moment. I just thought I want to bring this to your attention before I take a breath and let you, you know, speak
sure.
to what I'm saying. But there's a film that I just saw a few days ago called About Time. And I encourage everybody to watch it. I had never heard of it. I did not know it existed. And when Cass got here, she said, okay, let's go on Netflix and see, or Prime or whatever they were searching, to see if they could find it, my sister Christine and Cass. And they did. And we watched it, and I was blown away. And I think that's part of what sparked the hopefulness in me. I do, because time is irrelevant. It's an illusion. And yet it's a necessary evil and a human machination. I mean, we have to adjust it every 4 years so that the system works, you know. So that tells you something. You know, we kind of made it up. Oh, here's this thing called the solar system, and this takes how long? And, you know, okay. But the thing is that when you begin to really live in the moment, that's when you, I think, that's when we discover the real intrinsic beauty of life. It's not lost on us as we reflect back and project forward. If we're living in the moment, we get to actually dwell within the beauty of it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and this sounds silly, but a game changer for me has been this little man of mine who turns 9 months old today. Colin, the Wonder Cat.
His furry little heart. Oh.
This little guy snuggles me like every 10 minutes. If he feels like he needs hugs or he can tell I do, he literally crawls up in my arms and puts his hands, his little arms around my neck and kisses me all over and rubs his face on me. And healing.
Excellent.
Do you know what I mean?
It
this
is.
This little guy born on Easter Sunday, he's an Easter baby, and he is such a little healer and such a love. And if you don't have something to snuggle, please go get one. There are millions of them at shelters. And, you know, it heals, because animals understand that relationships are about the circle of giving and taking, and they are happy to give you love in exchange for love. People sometimes, not so great at that. But animals,
not so great.
Sure, they get it. We're the only animal that kind of sucks. But however, he's a little confused about how earbuds work. So he just pulled an earbud out of my ear. He's like, oh, what's this cat toy hanging out of your ear?
What's this?
So,
I know.
So I think that sometimes it's hard to have faith in humanity, because humanity can be difficult. But spirit wants for us to be positive and move on. And you know, in all honesty, and I know COVID is awful, and I'm not trying to denigrate that in any way, but When I look back over my life, I can tell you every single year pretty much was amazing and sucked at the same time. Like, I don't know that I can really pick out years and go, oh, yeah, that year was amazing. Because then I think of the things that aren't, or that year really sucked. But then I think of the things that didn't. I just think it's life as a human on the planet, learning lessons and overcoming obstacles, that there's agony and ecstasy in every year. And,
and that's
really
how it
wonderful
is
things
in soul
have happened
school.
For me. And right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And really wonderful things have happened to me in 2020 and in 2021.
Yeah, me too. Really phenomenal things. In spite of all the sadness and the grief and the loss and the tears. And, you know, it's been a truly tragic couple of years, especially since now so many deaths are occurring needlessly. That is profoundly disturbing to me, that people are dying for no good reason. is so sad.
I agree.
It's just pitiful.
Well, it makes me sad that, I mean, I have three or four fully vaccinated friends died or almost died in the last month. And, you know, just because you have a vaccine doesn't mean you don't need to stop social distancing.
Right.
Because there's new variants, and we don't know how the new variants are being affected and how much the vaccines take care of them. So people are wandering around L.A. now like, oh, I got a vaccine. I can go to the Dodger game, do whatever I want, take this mask off.
Right.
No. We're so close to being over this hump with this thing, but we need to follow the rules, you know, and be safe.
Right.
It's not going to kill us all to Zoom our meetings for another 6 months or so.
No, it's not. And in fact, for me, I can do my Zoom thing with my unicorn slippers and my jammies on. You know, as long as from the waist up I'm presentable, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
And I'm so
I
good
don't have
with
to
that.
Wear pants at all, and
so
sometimes I don't.
I know. I just, you know, I don't know if empathy is such a part of humanity, if it exists, which it obviously does. I mean, and there is such a thing as having too much of it and being too absorbent, like, you know, putting SpongeBob to shame, bringing in other energies around you, particularly negative energies. That's hard for me because, you know, my dad gets, he's just got this persuasion that he can jump up in Rhode Island. It's called jumping shitty. And he can do that really fast. He's the person that I know on this planet that is most quick to anger. And so when he sees something on the news or he sees something happen out in the real world when he's, you know, out doing business or something else happens to somebody else and he takes exception to it, he just pours out this negative energy and, you know, he raises his voice and he starts to vent his feelings about it. And even if I agree with him 1,000% on what he's complaining about, I still absorb it. And then I have to go cleanse and I have to go, you know, like purge, you know, just purge it out of me. It can literally alter my mood, you know, my whole frame of reference. And so for the last 3 weeks, I have been with my mother, who is supremely optimistic about everything, and is the one that taught me that you can actually be happy even if you're miserable, even if you're in the midst of a circumstance or a crisis or, you know, some kind of a situation that is untenable and uncomfortable and distressing, you can still be happy.
Yeah.
Even just challenging yourself to overcome whatever it is that is the obstacle of the day. And that's what soul school is. As I have said, having stolen that phrase from you, used it in my last book, you know, liberally.
Yay!
I did thank you in the acknowledgments for it.
I love that too.
I have developed an extended metaphor about it. And what I tell people in my lectures now and my interviews is that in soul school, I think there's some plausibility that that's why we're here. That's why we're, you know, doing service on earth or taking up space, regardless of, you know, the way that we approach this thing called life. You can be absolutely excitable and energetic and totally into it and anxious to learn. That's how you are. You're Aries through and through. You go like a bull through this thing called life. You just take on every challenge that is thrown at you. You do every bit of good that you can possibly conceive of. If you see it, you do something about it. And that's how you are. And for the most part, I'm a softer, gentler version of that. Being, you know, your opposite, your Libra, I'm about justice.
Right.
I want justice to be served. I feel that we are now at a time where there are many, many things that must be addressed in order for justice to be served in our current situation. And so I look at that and I wonder what part empathy plays in that. Like if we can, like for instance, the murder of George Floyd had a profound effect on me. It was the first time I believe in my life I actually watched someone die. And a horrible experience it was, and I forced myself to watch it because something told me that that man's death was going to change the world. And it did.
Sure.
And it has, and it is. It is an ongoing change that has occurred. And what we saw happen there was that justice was served and that his murderer was put behind bars and will not have the opportunity to do that to another human being again. So there is something about that. It's not vengeance that I feel. It is satisfaction that, you know, that the system worked. That the system worked, but you can sit at the front of the class with your hand up in the air, you know, with that waving of the fingers, teacher, pick me, I know the answer. And we don't know the answers. We don't. And in soul school, the test always precedes the lesson. Always.
Yes.
So that's
right.
Why.
But then
it's
after
so
the lesson,
difficult.
You get the test again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I'm all about
justice. To see if you learned the lesson.
I have a Scorpio mother. I mean,
yep.
You know, my mother thought bad people should die in a big way. So I'm all about justice. But you have to understand that there are different ways to get justice. And sometimes if the way we think doesn't work, then we find another way. Does that make sense? Yes, it would be wonderful if everybody who committed crimes and did bad things got their justice. Is that the world we live in? No, because we live in a world that is
we live in a world
50%
of
light,
exception.
50% dark.
Yes.
We live in a balanced universe.
Yes.
And there is darkness,
where
and that does play into
are
it.
Made.
We,
yeah.
Right. So you have to find different ways to get justice. And even if George Floyd's murderer had not gone to jail, which in so many instances that happens, right? Thankfully in this instance,
right.
Not.
Right.
He didn't die for naught, because look at all of the awareness that came out of it and all the people who started thinking about, wow, we've got to do something about this. So every time somebody dies, Harvey Milk, right? Martin Luther King, Joan of Arc, Jesus, every time somebody is brutally taken from us, there is a learning in it. We learn, and sometimes people have to sacrifice themselves so that we learn, you know? I mean, Abraham Lincoln. I mean, look what happened. Abraham Lincoln died, and his horrid vice president tried to turn everything right back to the way it was before the war, and people said, that's not going to happen. Had he not died and been martyred, things might just have flipped back and slavery might have become legal again in a few years. So you have to think that sometimes people just sacrifice themselves for the lesson. And as long as there are those that see the lesson, there is justice. And then sometimes you get actual justice too, and then that's just like justice with a heaping side of justice on top.
Yeah.
But
I hate to have to rely on karma. You know, I hate to every now and then I have to say, well, you know, you'll get yours in the end, you know, and try to let it go.
And that will happen. Sure. Yeah. And that will absolutely happen. But that's not as great. I mean, yes, is it great one person gets theirs? Sure. But what about millions of people get it because they watched it? What if it's not going to be as easy for a bad person like that to do it again because all those people saw that video?
Right.
I mean, that, unfortunately, that's the definition of evolution.
Yeah. Well,
right?
And it's a spiritual evolution, too. You know, all of a sudden,
yes.
millions and millions and millions of people saw this guy that they might have seen, you know, getting arrested and just walked right past it. And yet there were four officers there exhibiting so much hubris that none of them tried to take the phone away from the very brave 17-year-old girl who filmed that whole thing from beginning to end. They figured they were so far above the law that however this went down, ultimately it wouldn't matter. And so they let her keep that camera and film that film, and she promptly put it out into the world. That was a very brave thing for her to do. And I will, Jordan, her name, she did something. She did a service to the world, and what a horrible thing for her to have to have witnessed, being right there, and yet right through the entire, like, more than 10 minutes that it took for him to ultimately expire, she kept her camera trained on everything that was happening, because I think at some in some place within her, she knew that what was happening was very important, was very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she, too, is a messenger. And we learned from her, even though I'm sure she's got some serious PTSD from watching that. But still, there's another lesson we learned.
Everybody.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes people are just chosen to be messengers or to be martyrs.
But
messengers and martyrs.
But also, the other point that I wanted to make was that it triggered what seems to be, in some ways, an ancient memory of empathy. Our society has gotten to a place where, you know, as we discussed earlier, there's an awful lot of self-serving, not so much self-sacrifice as self-serving behavior being exhibited in many, many countless individuals that do not raise the vibration, and in fact, in many ways, lower the vibration. So it's a constant conflict. You know, I talk about being a spiritual warrior for peace, not being counterintuitive, that some things are worth fighting for. For me, voters' rights are worth fighting for. I've been a huge advocate of that, and have marched and protested and, you know, carried on for civil rights, human rights, women's rights, voter rights, every kind of rights, and more rights for human beings. And, you know, according to our own founding documents, that's our unalienable right to, you know, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Well, those are very broad concepts, indeed. I mean, that's kind of like throwing an umbrella over everything. Life, you know, when life itself and the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of having a fulfilled life. Now, the only way to have that is to have the self-evident rights that we are imbued with at birth. And that can't be exclusive. That can't be only for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. That can't only be for, you know, European
Don't
colonists.
Don't forget men. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant men.
Men, yeah, okay, we would say that for sure. It has to be completely and utterly inclusive. And it is the inclusivity that breeds fear and contempt in those who feel like power is slowly but surely slipping away from them. And so what we have here is perpetual conflict. And I don't know, honestly, Sheena, I've looked at this every conceivable way. You know how much time I spend thinking about this, processing where we are societally, processing where we are globally, and how other elements factor in, like spirit, extraterrestrial presence. I mean, you know, this is all very convoluted and very complicated. And so it's very easy for the average individual to say, okay, no, you know what? Because my brain hurts. Okay, I can't think about all of this stuff all at once. It's just too overwhelming. And I'm just going to go back to my 9-to-5 job, work from home if I must until this insanity is over, try to keep myself and my family safe, not really worry about anybody else, not pay any attention to the numbers that are popping up on the news. Oh, maybe not even watch the news. So I'll be completely uninformed, but it's easier that way because that way I can live inside my three-dimensional shell and not have to go through the exertion of pecking my way out of it to see what the universe looks like on the other side of it and the multiverse and the metaverse and whatever else you want to call it. All of consciousness, all of infinity, all of the cosmos, the universal presence and energy in which we are completely, thoroughly, utterly integrated. And yet we have this innate ability to carve ourselves out and put ourselves inside a self-imposed prison of ignorance. And climbing out of that, pecking our way out of that shell is the most difficult thing that anyone will ever do because the waking up is hard to do. It's very difficult. And I'll tell you.
Is it where we cue do we cue the Neil Sedaka right there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Waking up is hard to do.
I know it is. Well, you know, he was pretty groovy.
And I know this probably isn't a popular opinion, but if you want to stay in that shell and not look at the rest of the world, you know what? It's your life and that's your right. I don't recommend it. It's a very myopic, depressing way to live. But some people only want to think about what's going on in their own life.
Here.
And you know what? That's okay. That's your choice and it's okay. We all make choices on the earth, you know. Don't go mess with somebody else's life or, you know, be a dick to somebody else because then that's not okay. If you like my spiritual terms.
That was lovely.
But if you want to just think about yourself, you have that right. I can tell you you're missing out by not having that connection to spirit and connection to everyone on the earth. It's not fun. It's not as fun. It's not as fulfilling. But if that's what you want from your life, that you have that right. We're not put here told that we are forced to be part of the connection. We don't have to be. You can just think about nothing but you, and it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how many life lessons you're learning, but you might not even care about that. You might just go home and tell spirit, you know, sorry, the dog ate my homework, and just not advance and have to come back and do it again, and you're okay with that.
And that could very well be. And you know what? For those folks that are in that headspace, life is complicated enough. It's hard enough. So to complicate it further and to invest that kind of thought and energy and motivation and momentum into actively changing your life is a very brave thing to do. And life requires courage if you want to live it fully. It requires courage to speak your truth, to speak up when you see something wrong, to stand up for what is right, to rise up in protest when necessary, and to lift up everyone around you. And that is the beauty of life for me.
Agreed. Amen. Yeah. But
God, I love talking to you. I do. I know it's not. God bless them, huh?
It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's to live a life in service is a lot. And it means sometimes you have to interact when you just want to put your head in the sand. You have to be inspirational when you just want to tell people to go screw themselves. It's a lot, but it is what it is. You know, every time I think, I'm going to go on Facebook and say something nasty, because, you know, I feel nasty thoughts. I'm a person. I can have a nasty thought. It's true, yep. Indra. I have nasty thoughts. Mm-hmm. Then I think, oh, but, you know, how many people is that going to affect? How many people are going to see that? How many people are right on the brink of not having a positive outlook, and that's going to push them into the negative? And then I just start to think about it, and have a talk with spirit about it, and then it just doesn't seem worth it. I can just sit and, you know, call a friend or air my grievances somewhere else. It just doesn't seem – when people are looking to you for the light is what you shall give them.
Yeah.
And there's lots of places people can go and find the negative. They're not going to find it from me. It's just not – it's not my purpose. Everybody has a different purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind
people
of, you
need
know,
different
mission
things.
We get messages from mission control – you know, keep it light, keep it love, keep it uplifting, you know.
Yeah, and I like
but
funny
I also,
memes. I see funny memes, and I think they're a scream, but it's not for me to, it's not for me to be the one that the negative things come from.
I know, but I'm also very honest with the people that follow my work, that watch my videos, and when I have something to be upset about, legitimately upset about, I do not withhold that. I guess I emulate a way in which I vent it, I process it, and I get beyond it. And because I'm not the only one that, you know, deals with, you know, complicated situations. And I'm just one of everyone. And I think that it's okay. I don't think it's realistic to just let everything go. You become a doormat that way. You know, just let everything go, not fight for your own rights, not fight for yourself, not stick up for you in any given situation. I've seen you be attacked, and you've always handled it with grace. You know, and I can't believe, why would anyone want to attack you? You know, really, why would anyone I mean, that's like, you know, I think that I'm just going to take a knife and chop up this nice stick of warm butter, you know. Why would you do that? And I have as well, you know, and I fight for myself, and when my mother is particularly attacked, I turn into someone who can take somebody off at the knees in 10 words or less and do it, because no one gets to make a mockery of my mother's pain without me saying something about it. So there it is. But I think that it's also important to get back to true north, you know, to let your just maybe spin out of control for a minute or two, and then get back to where you are settled and square with yourself, and know that who you are, what you are, and how you live your life is something to be proud of. I think we have to get back to a place where we can actually be proud of ourselves and love ourselves, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to help in the overall mission to heal the world of its some terrible woes. I think that it's going to require reconnecting with some of our essential and intrinsic qualities as human beings. And first and foremost, that is love. The love is the light. And so once we can connect to that, and I hope that that happened for countless millions during the holiday season, when we are so, I hope it was so much more than just one gigantic super spreader event. You know, I really do. I hope that there was healing that
went
on.
I mean, I'm sure there was super spreading, but I also think that people were just, were loving each other. I mean, I think that there was probably more super spreading than there should have been, but I also think a lot of people needed that connection. And
well, I think mistletoe should have been outlawed this year. Yeah.
Oh, yep. No kissing?
Yeah. No kissing under the mistletoe. Yeah. Mistletoe should have been outlawed this Christmas. No lip smacking under the mistletoe unless you know for a fact. Oh, God. Oh, what a mess we're in, huh, babe? What a
you know
mess
what?
We're in.
It's
but
all
we will
be okay,
get out of
sweetie.
This. We will. It is.
2022 is here, and everything's mm-hmm. going to be okay. And on that, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for being here today. We're completely out of time. Where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm everywhere, and I will be joining you on KGRA this coming week. So let's,
you will
Friday you know,
night,
I'm,
my brand
I'm
new
Friday night.
Web TV talk show. You're going to be my first
yep.
guest, and then your show is later that night.
KGRA yes,
is wonderful, and I'll be making lots of announcements coming up this week, and I have decided to take my old daily Sheena Metal Experience radio show and turn it into a weekly a web TV talk show, and I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled you're going to be my first guest.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful, honey. Syndication rocks. It does. I love it. Okay, so
that's what
let's,
I love about these shows as well.
I do too. It's perfect and wonderful.
You're the best,
and we
my friend.
So
I will
many
see you
open
soon,
hearts.
And I thank you so much for being here and for the kind words and happy new year. The wonderful Andrea Pear and everybody. If you missed the links for how to get a hold of her, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's how you get a hold of me, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Or find me everywhere on social media. I'm just at Sheena Metal. Thank you to the Live Paranormal Network. So proud to be a part of this family and to be a part of all their affiliates, including iHeartRadio. Every Tuesday, we're here at 5 o'clock Pacific time, my Haunted Playground show. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Right now, I'm going to Live Paranormal's video channel to do my live show there. Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. It's called I Am Raising Your Vibration. It's the companion to this. Please join me over there right now. Until I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always, always raise your vibration. Visit my website, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, for all of your psychic and spiritual needs. I'll see you next week. Thank you, Andrea. Happy New Year. I love you all. I'll see you next Tuesday.